We're up to Torah Tzadik Beis in Likutei Moran Tanina. The topic that Rabbeinu Zal is going to discuss in this chapter in Likutei Moran is a very, very sensitive topic in that it must be discussed with the greatest degree of tznius, of modesty, and being very careful in the wording that we use. This is not a subject for children, for kids at all. This is only a topic for adults. And as such, it's possible that children hearing this would not necessarily understand it completely, but for the adults that hear it, it should be clear. This chapter, Tzadik Beis, in the second half of Likutei Moran, also coincides with another chapter in the first half of Likutei Moran, Torah Reishei, chapter 205, where Rabbeinu Zal there also discusses the subject of Tikkun HaKloli, which was one of the greatest revelations that Rabbeinu Zal made to the world during his lifetime. And on this chapter, hopefully, we're going to have a lot of additional information besides what's written here in the Torah itself. There's a lot of information in the Likutei Halachos, in the Sipurei Maaseis, and in the Meforshim that complement the Likutei Moran, that explain and describe a lot what this Tikkun HaKloli is all about, what this subject is all about, and how it's supposed to relate to us. For now, let's start with the Torah itself as a foundation. Rabbeinu Zal says, Tikkun lemikra laila chas v'shalom, a tikkun for this particular sin, rachmona leslan, that could happen to a person by night in the form of an accident, loimar asura kapitel tehillim, is to say 10 chapters of Tehillim, kimavur b'sefer horishain, as is presented in the first section of Likutei Moran, the first sefer of Likutei Moran, b'simen reishei, chapter 205, over there. Ayin shom ho'inyin. Take a look over there, and you'll see over there Rabbeinu Zal describes and discusses this topic. Now Rabbeinu Zal continues here, ki asoro kapitel Tehillim, Haim keneged asoro minei negino shenemor bahem sefer Tehillim. Because 10 chapters of Tehillim correspond to the 10 types of song with which the sefer Tehillim was said. Shehem, now Rabbeinu Zal quotes this from a Gemara in Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, and the Zohar HaKadosh in several places. The Zohar HaKadosh says clearly that the sefer Tehillim is written in the form of 10 different types of song. We know that David HaMelech is called the Ne'im Zemirois Yisrael. He is the sweet singer of Klal Yisrael. He's the one who knew Negina in its highest and holiest level, the concept of song, which is a very, very major, integral part of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism. We find, for example, we know that one of the most outstanding events in the life of a Jew is the person's wedding. When a Jew is zeichet to become Odom HaSholem, we know the Gemara says that as long as a person is not married, Rachmona Litzlan, the person is not yet an Odom HaSholem, a complete person. It's only once a Jew is zeichet to get married, that's when they achieve a certain measure of shleimus, of completion, in having the two halves of their neshama unite, the male and female section on this earth. Rabbeinu Zal says that one of the most critical items at a Jewish wedding is the music, the singing at the wedding, the negina. And Rabbeinu Zal bases this on the Zohar HaKadosh, where the Zohar HaKadosh says, by Levi, we know that when Leah, Imenu, gave birth to Levi, her third son, she said that the reason why she was calling him Levi was, Hapam Yilove Ishi Elai. Now, my husband is going to be merged with me, bonded together. Why? Al Pipshat, why did she say it? So the Gemara says, because she saw Beruach HaKodesh, these Imohois, the mothers of Klal Yisrael, they had Ruach HaKodesh, and she knew that Yaakov Avinu was destined to have 12 sons, and she knew that these 12 sons would come from 4 wives, Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. When Leah saw that she was zeichet to complete her contribution, she had 3 children, she produced 3 children for Yaakov Avinu, she felt that she had filled her quota, the amount that she had to provide, and she said, "Hapam yilo v'ishi elai." Now my husband will become united with me solidly because I have shown that I could fill the amount, the minimum amount that I'm supposed to contribute to him if we go by averages. She didn't know that she was destined to produce much more than that. She was destined to produce 6 sons and 1 daughter. That's the pshat. The Zohar HaKadosh says, al pisoid, why did she say, hapam, now that Levi was born, yilove ishi elai, my husband and I will be united. There'll be a real yichud between us, a real achdus between us. The Zohar HaKadosh says, because Levi represents singing, music, negina. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, in Hebrew, in Yiddishkeit, we have a word dveikus. Dveikus means like a super, super closeness to Hashem, where a person rises to such a level where the person feels literally that they merge with Hashem. The person becomes one with Hashem. They don't feel their body anymore. They don't feel any partitions, any mechitzos, anything blocking them from being one with Hashem. That level in spiritualism is called dveikus. The Zohar HaKadosh says that there's nothing in existence that brings a person closer to dveikus than negina, song, singing, music, all items related to that. That's what elevates the person to this madrega of dveikus. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that's the hidden meaning in what's found here. Leah said, now that Levi is in the world, and we know that Shevet Levi, what was their main contribution to Klal Yisrael? They were the ones that sang. When the Korbonos were brought in the Beis HaMikdash, they were the ones who sang on the Duchan, the Shira, the Shir Shel Yom that we have, all the Shirois that were sung in the Beis HaMikdash. Hapam yilove ishi elai. Now that Levi is in the world, the Negina of Klal Yisrael is in the world, now there can be dveikus. Now there can be this yilove ishi elai, this yichud between Zohar and Nekeva, between Kutshe Barichu and the Shechina. And that comes about bedafka through singing. And this is the reason why when it comes to a wedding, which is a time when a husband and wife, Zohar and Nekeva, two opposites, Eish and Mayim, have to be bonded together, there must be music there. One of the focal points of the Chasana is the singing that takes place at the wedding. And so too, in terms of Shabbos Kodesh, which is the climax of the whole week, in terms of Kiddusha, in terms of a Yichud Kutshe Barichu Shchinte, in terms of what day of the week does a Jew achieve the greatest degree of closeness to Hashem on Shabbos, this is why Rabbein Azal stressed so much to his Talmidim how critical it is for an observant Jew to sing Zmiris on Shabbos. As much as possible, the more the better. Every single drop of additional Zmiris that a Yid is zeichet to sing on Shabbos is what adds to this dveikus. And Rabbein Azal was not too big for this. Rabbein Azal, who knew Shas and Shulchan Aruch and all the Sifrei Kabbalah, and he was a very, very big tzaddik, he didn't consider himself too big that this would be below his level for him to sing songs and davening Kelodoin, Lechodoidi, all of those Zmiros. Rabbein Azal went very, very big on that. And so too the Zmiros at the 3 meals of Shabbos, Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shabbos at Mincha. This is a very critical item for those that adhere to Rabbein Azal, those that call themselves Breslov. This is critical. This is a cornerstone in building the week. The singing Zmiros on Shabbos, every opportunity that's available in shul, at home, the rikid, all of this is critical. And also, bichlal, to understand, Rabbein Azal said for his Talmidim, I want each one of you to walk around with a song on your lips. That this is the way a Yid is supposed to be. That Negina is something that's so deep, so strong, that creates a bond with Hashem, a dveikus, that could protect a person. This is one of the things that could serve as a wall to protect a person from the onslaught of the Yetzer Hara, the Satan. If a Yid is zeichet to have Negina Dikdusha on his lips. Naturally, we're not talking about rock and roll, we're not talking about maniacs singing. We're talking about songs of Kiddusha, the type of songs that are sung by religious Jews, by Torah-observant Jews. It's a lot to say on this. We're just getting our feet wet in this subject for now.
What's
Dveikus? Dveikus means this super close attachment to Hashem. That's Dovuk means, Devek is glue. Something which binds together two things, it sticks them together. So now Rabbi Nezal says, Ki Asoro Kapitel Tehillim Heim Keneged Asoro Minyan Egina. 10 chapters of Tehillim correspond to the 10 types of song, Shenemar Bohem Sefer Tehillim, with which the Sefer Tehillim was written. Sheheim, what are these 10 types of song? They are Brocho, Ashrei, Maskil, V'chulu, etc. The Gemara in Psachim over there, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, and the Zohar Kodesh, and Rashi in Tehillim, in the first Rashi in the Sefer Tehillim, quotes these 10 types of song that Dovid HaMelech used to design the Sefer Tehillim. We know in actuality, the Gemara also tells us in Psachim, how many people were involved in putting together the Sefer Tehillim? 10 tzaddikim. Dovid HaMelech primarily did most of it, but you note at one point in the Sefer Tehillim it says, Kolu Tfilois David Ben Yishai. This is the end of the Tfilois of Dovid HaMelech. There were 9 other tzaddikim that played a part because the Sefer Tehillim is very, very much woven around this number 10. This number 10 is very critical in terms of Tehillim, in terms of Negina, and everything we're going to discuss now. Rabbi Nezal explains now, Ki Asoro Mine Negino Hanal Yesh Lehem Koyach Levatel Koyach HaKlipo. These 10 types of song have tremendous power to be able to erase and wipe out completely the koyach of the klipa, of the soton, of tuma, the hapigam, hanal. And these 10 types of negina have the power to erase any blemish, any stain that's created from this particular sin, this mikre, rachmona litzlon. The 10 types of negina have the power to erase it, to wipe it out completely. Kihem hepech haklipo vapigam hanal. Because they, these 10 types of song, are the opposite of this klipo and pigam. Kimavur mizeh shom b'sefer harishon. As is explained in detail in the first half of Likutei Moran, in Torah Reish Hei, which we already learned. Now Rabbi Nezal says, V'da, and you should know, Ki zeh ho'inyin shel ho'asor minin egina hanal, shehem keneged pigam hanal, that this topic regarding these 10 types of negina that are keneged this particular aveira, this particular sin, humerumos b'psukim elu, it's hinted in these specific psukim. Rabbi Nezal is going to show us psukim that are found throughout the Tikkun HaKloli, these 10 kapitlach primarily, that all hint to the connection between the 10 types of negina that are mentioned in the Gemara and in the Zohar, that are used to construct the Sefer Tehillim, the corresponding connection between them and this particular sin, Pigam HaBris, and items related to that in this form. Rabbi Nezal says, Bracha. We know that one of the 10 types of Negina is called Bracha, where Dovid HaMelech uses the Loshen, that word, in starting certain kapitlach of Tehillim. Avorech es Hashem asher yo'otzoni, af leilois yisruni. I bless Hashem who has given me advice, af leilois, also at night, yisruni. We see an association between Avorech, the Lashon Bracha, and Leilois, nighttime, which is the time for this particular sin, Rachmona Litzlon, and also Miloshen Lil, the Malach that corresponds to this type of Pigam, items related to Chil HaBris. That's Bracha. Next, Ashrei, one of the 10 types of Negin is Ashrei. Ashrei Nesui Pesha, Ksui Chato. Fortunate is the one for whom Hashem forgives his sin and covers over his chait. Again, being merames to this particular chait, we find that the first letters of Ashrei, Nesui Pesha, make up the word Niuf, Nun Aleph Pei, related to Pigam HaBris again. Next, Maskil, the word Maskil, which is one of the 10 types of song, Umei Hashem Isho Maskoles. The pasuk says in Mishlei that Isha Mishake Maskolis, which means here in a sense an evil woman, a woman who incites this type of sin, Rachmona Litzlan, we see again that word is also used in conjunction with this term describing one of the 10 types of Negin and Tehillim. Maskil. Ashrei Maskil Eldol B'Yomrei Maltei Hashem. Maskil refers to Seichel, and it also refers to this, the opposite of Seichel, Rachmon Alzlan. A Sochel is a fool. A person who has Pegama Bris, Rachmon Alzlan, that's called this opposite, this Maskoles, Rachmon Alzlan, this Isha Maskoles. Shir. We know that one of the 10 types of Negin is Shir. Balailo shiroi imi. At night time, his song is with me. Again, association between shir, one of the asur min hanegina, and lailo, which corresponds to this pigam, this mikra, which is called mikra lailo, rachmona litzlan, and also lil, referring to the malach that's appointed over this. Next, nitzuach. We know that one of the 10 types of nigun is nitzuach. Lamenatzeach al tashches. We see an association between Nitzuach and Hashchoso, Al Tashches. We know in Parshas Noach, the Mabul came upon the world, Ki Hishchis Kol Bosor Es Darkoi Al Horetz. This term Hashchoso refers specifically to these types of sins, Chilla Bris Rachmona Litzlan. So we see again an association between Lamanatzeach, Nitzuach, and Hashchoso. Nigun, which is the next type of Negino, of the Asar Mina Negino, Ezkro Neginosi Baloilo. I remember my song at night. Again, an association between Asar Mina Negino and Lailo, this item. Tfila, one of the 10 types of Negino is the word Tfila. Haye Ochel Tofel Mibli Melach. Haye Ochel Tofel Mibli Melach is Tofel eaten without salt. Now we know that what does salt represent? Tikkun HaBris. Salt is called Bris Melach Olam. The Gemara says in Brachos, Nemar Melach B'Yisurim, Nemar Bris B'Yisurim, Venemar Bris B'Melach. That just like Melach eliminates the bad blood, the treif blood from a piece of meat, Melach is salt, so too, Yisurim are memarkim avinois of shalodom. They eliminate the sins of a person. So this concept of Bali Melach is a nickname for Chil HaBris, Rachman HaSan. Melach is the symbol of Tikkun HaBris. That's why we put salt, al kol korbon chotakriv melach. The korbonos had to have salt. Bread that a person eats has to have salt. Bli melach, and that represents the bris, the bond between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. That's what the Gemara says. Melach is the symbol of bris. Bli melach is, Rachman HaSan, the opposite of that. Tofel is miloshen tiflus. That's another Hebrew word referring to znus. Tiflus, Maisa Tiflus, the Gemara mentions it, Rachman HaSan. That's a nickname for znus, Rachman HaSan. So we see again the word tfilo, which is one of the Asura Mina Negino, is very close to this term tofel, bli melach, which is the symbol of this pigam. Hoidu. We know that the next one of these types of negina is hoidu. Pentitein la'acherim hoidecho. The pasuk says, maybe you, Hashem, will give to others your beauty. Hoid over here refers to, again, Tikkun HaBris. Oiz v'hodor levusho. That's not hoid, that's hodor. The pasuk says, chagoyer charbecho al yorech. Gibor hoidcho vadorecho. There's a pasuk, this is not written here, I'm quoting from outside. There's a pasuk in Tehillim where David HaMelech says, tie your sword around your loins. Chagoyer charbucho al yorech. Gibor hoidcho, gibor, you strong person, hoidcho vadorecho. That's your beauty, that's your true beauty. The Indian of Tikkun HaBris, which is this chagor, this cherev al hayorech, the sword that's around the loins, that refers to the tefillah that's mekusher to the Tikkun HaBris, as Rav Enizal brings in Torah Beis and Likut Imran Chelek Aleph. So we see that hoid is an Indian of Tikkun HaBris also. Hoidu, which is one of the beginnings of all of the of many different chapters of Tehillim, Hoidu corresponds to this union of Hoid, which is a nickname for the topic of Tikkun HaBris. We know that Netzach, Hoid, and Yesoid go together. Mizmor, the next one of the Asur Min HaNegina, the ninth, is Mizmor. Hanoisein Zmirois Baloilo. Again, a pasuk associating Zmirois with Lailo, the union of this Pigam. Haleluka, the tenth of the Asur Min HaNegina. There's a pasuk that says, Isha Yiras Hashem, Ki Tishalo. A woman that has true fear of Hashem, she gives forth Tehila, Haleluka. So we see that Haleluka is the concept of an Isha Yiras Hashem, which is the opposite of this Isha Min HaEfes, Rachmanot, the opposite of the union of Chilul HaBris, which is an evil woman. It's always called this the opposite of this Isha Yiras Hashem. V'hovein heitev ramozim elu, and understand well these hints that Rabbeinu Zal has provided here, where Rabbeinu Zal has given us a little bit of an insight to show the connection between the 10 types of Negina, which are the ingredients, the building blocks of the Sefer Tehillim that Dovid HaMelech used, and the union of Chilul HaBris, which is also presented throughout the Torah, the union of Tikkun HaBris versus Chilul HaBris, presented in these 10 forms, also in corresponding terminology to these 10 words. Vada, and you should know, Ki Eilu Heim Ho Asora Kapitel, Mikri Bilti Tor Chas V'Shalom. These are these, we know that we're going to learn as we discuss this Torah further, that when Rabbeinu Zal first brought up this discussion to his Talmidim, he gave them the impression that any 10 chapters of Tehillim have this power. In fact, that if you pick any 10 chapters of Tehillim, because of the fact that all the whole Sefer Tehillim is a combination of these Asura Min HaNegina, technically any 10 chapters of Tehillim to a degree, possess this power. However, it was later, subsequent to that, that Rabbeinu Zal presented this to Talmidim, that you should know, now I'm going to reveal to you the secret of the exact 10 chapters within the Sefer Tehillim that possess this koyach more so than anybody else. That this is the precise formula for Tikkun HaBris, for being able to correct any type of pigam within this framework, including this worst type, Rachmono Litzlan, which is the union that Rabbeinu Zal discussed in the beginning of this Torah, this Mikra, Bilti Torah, Rachmono Litzlan. So Rabbeinu Zal says, these 10 chapters, a person is required to say, on the day that this item, Chas V'Shalom, happens to him. The 10 chapters are Tes Zayin, chapter 16, which begins with Michtam Ladovid, Lamed Beis, Ladovid Maskil, chapter 41, Ashrei Maskil Adol, Mem Beis, Ka'ayol Taroi, Nun Tes Lamatzech Al Tashches, Ayin Zayin Lamatzech Al Yedusun, Tzadik Tfilo Lamoshe, Kapitel Kuf Hei, which is Hoidu Hashem Kiru Vishmoi, Kapitel Kuf Lamed Zayin, which is Al Na'arois Bovel, and finally, Kapitel Kuf Nun, which is the Haleluka Halleluel Keil B'Kotchei. These are the 10. The Elu Ho Asoro Kapitel Tehillim, and these 10 chapters of Tehillim, Heim Tikkun Godol Ma'oid Ma'oid Le'inyan Hanal. They serve as a tremendous, tremendous tikkun for this particular type of sin, for which the Zohar HaKadosh says very clearly, the Zohar HaKadosh says that this type of sin has no tshuva. There's nothing you can do to fix this type of sin. Rachmon Al-Zlan. This is exactly what's written in the Zohar HaKadosh. And the Shiloh HaKadosh, not just Breslov, the Shiloh HaKadosh writes in his Sefer, the Shnei Luch Sabris, one of the greatest tzaddikim a few hundred years ago, that this statement is written in the Zohar HaKadosh as a test for Klal Yisrael. That a Jew, Rachmon Al-Zlan, who committed this type of sin, has to see that it's written in the Zohar HaKadosh about him, that he can't do tshuva, and he has to know that Afal Pikein he can. Because there doesn't exist a possibility, there doesn't exist a potential in Yiddishkeit that Hashem would create a situation where you can't do tshuva, you can do something that can't be undone. other than the one exception to this rule, Rachmona Litzlan, a Jew commits suicide, there he's taking away from himself the fact that he left this world, he's taking away the option of correcting, of fixing. However, as long as a person is physically alive and breathing, there's nothing, there doesn't exist the potential of a sin or a multitude of sins that could be strong enough where tshuva couldn't correct it. So therefore, Rabbeinu Zal said this, and Rav Nosson Zal writes in Likutei Halachos, Rav Nosson Zal Likutei Halachos quotes that statement in the Zohar HaKadosh and says that Rabbeinu Zal came along and Rabbeinu Zal provided the solution even for this problem, the tikkun even for this item, that a Jew who zeichet to say these 10 chapters of Tehillim in this sequence with this formula, this can even affect a tikkun for this type of pigam, this inyan of a mikra bilti toyer, Rachmona Litzlan. And Rabbeinu Zal says, "Umi shezeicha la'imram ba'isay hayoyim," a Jew that's privileged to say these 10 chapters on that day, on the day that this happens to them, "Ein tzorich lifchoid oid klal mi pigam hanoira shel hamikra chas v'shalom." That Jew doesn't have to be afraid at all, whatsoever, from this awesome pegam, this awesome avera, that the Sforim writes so much, the Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer writes the severest wording, how terrible an atrocity this is in Yiddishkeit, and yet Rabbeinu Zal says there is a tikkun for it. There is something that could correct this, that could fix up the damages caused by this pegam. Ki bevadai nistakein al yidei zeh, because certainly whatever damage has been done, whatever destruction has been caused through this pigam, will certainly be corrected through this. Ubeschus tikun chet ze yovoi Moshiach tzidkenu, and we know that it's in the zuchus of correcting this particular sin that Moshiach will come, lekabetz nefutzosenu, to gather together all the yidden that are dispersed in golus all over throughout the world. Kamoisha Kosov, as the Pusuk says, Boine Yerushalayim Hashem, Nidche Yisroel Yechanes, Bimheiro Vyamenu Amen. That Hashem, who builds up the city of who will build the city of Yerushalayim, will gather in all the Nidche Yisroel, all the Jewish neshamas that are scattered and strewn about, Bimheiro Vyamenu Amen. Now this last word, Rabbeinu Zal says, Ubizchus Tikkun Chet Zeh Yovoi Moshiach Tzidkenu. Prove it. This other guy is going around singing that this other thing is going to bring Moshiach. How do we know that this particular item that's the key to be as Moshiach? The Arizal says we say it every day in davening. Uvo letzion, very poshut for little children. Uvo letzion goyel. The goyel is going to come to Yerushalayim, letzion. Uleshove fesha biyakov, and to remove the sins of Klal Yisrael, va'ani zois brisi, Omar Hashem, va'ani zois brisi. How is it going to come about? Through this inyan of tikkun abris. It's this item in particular, this test that each and every single Jew goes through, that the Zohar HaKadosh says that this is the main thing for which a Yetzer Hara was created. Just like the Moshel, a soldier goes out to war, he carries a lot of different pieces with him. He's got a knife, he's got this, he's got that, he's got different pieces of different tools, Klei Zayin of Milchoma. And yet we know that there's an Iker Klei Zayin. We know that there's one tool that's his main weapon, where if he were in a situation that he had a choice of selecting only one of these instruments, he knows which is the most critical, which is the most important one of them. Rabbeinu Zal brings Iker Klei Zayin Shel Moshiach Hi Tefila. So too, the Zohar HaKadosh says, the Satan has a whole bag of tricks. He's got variety, he's got assortment, blue, white, green, purple, polka dots, every kind of avera imaginable. But you want to know what the Iker Yetzer Hara is? What's the main sin that the Yetzer Hara was created to get a Jew, chas v'shalom, to commit? It's items related to Chilul Abris, Rachmona Litzlan. The wording in the Zohar HaKadosh is, Ikra deyitzra bisho al arayin. The main thing that the Yetzer Hara was created for was this particular area, to test a Jew in this area. And this is why on Yom Kippur at Mincha time, which is unquestionably one of the holiest times of the year, what do we lane? We read the Parsha of Arayas. Because if we're talking about tshuva, if we're talking about fixing, the item that a Jew has to be most concerned about, unquestionably, is fixing items in this particular area. This is the thing that the Sotah makes the most difficult test, and this is the thing that a person has to look to correct the most. Now, Rabbi Nazar says this in conjunction with that, U'bischus teken chet zeh yovay Mashiach tzidkenu, lekabetz nafutzoy seinu, to gather in the scattered ones. What's the connection? For this, there's something that's very, very deep. We'll start on this now. I don't know if we're going to be zeichet to continue. We'll see what the next shir will bring, if we're going to get to elaborate on this Torah more. I hope we will, or if not, we might have to wait till the second time around, another 12 years or so, Mitzvah Shem. But the Sifrei Kabbalah say that we know that within the body, there are different things that give life to a person. There are different things upon which the life of a person depends on. We know that blood, for example, the Pasuk says in the Chumash Beferish, Ki hadam hu hanefesh, that blood is the life of a person. We know doctors will tell you that if a person, chas v'shalom, loses a certain quantity of blood, a certain amount of blood, the person is dead, period. Because blood, to a large degree, represents the life-giving substance within the body. That's begashmius. What about beruchnius? We know that a human being, a yid, is made up of two items. There's two items going on in this body. There's the body, and there's the neshama inside. There's a spirit that's not physical, you can't touch it. It's not green or blue. It's spiritual, you can't see it, you can't touch it, but we believe it's there. And the neshama is functioning inside of the guf. The guf needs blood to give it a kiyum. What does the neshama need? What is the neshama? The pasuk says, Ner Elikim Nishma Sodom, that the neshama is symbolized by a ner. The Sifrei Kabbalah say that ner is the Rosh Yitevis Nefesh Ruach. Ner Elikim Nishma Sodom, you have Nefesh Ruach Neshama, the three major parts of a yid. But what is the neshama compared to? It's a ner, a candle. What does a candle live off? How does a candle burn? A candle needs shemen. It needs oil. That's the purest, the best type of candle. We know it comes to Hanukkah, unquestionably for Klal Yisrael. The best type of candle is a candle that's burning with shemen. Shemen zayis zoch. That's what was used in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdosh. It's oil that fuels a candle. So too, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that the brain, we say when we put on tefillin in the morning, that we're putting on the tefillin shel roish, why? Sheha neshama shebamoichi, so that the neshama that's in my brain, imshar chushai v'koichosai, together with all my other senses and powers, should all be completely dedicated and devoted to Hashem. Sheha neshama shebamoichi. Where is the neshama? The neshama is in the brain. What is the brain? The brain is a candle. Narrowly kim nishma sodom. If we picture a little man sitting over a table with a sefer open learning and he's using a candle to light the way, that's what the brain is, symbolically. That's the learning center within the body. That's this ner, this candle. The posuk says, ki ner mitzvah v'toira oyer. The whole Judaism is basically Torah and mitzvahs. What is Torah and mitzvahs? It's ner and oyer. Very simple. So we know that the ruchnius of a person is basically ner and oyer. What do you need for this oyer? You need shemen. The Sifrei Musar and the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh tell us that there are shemonim, there are oils that move around in the body that give sustenance to the body and to the neshama. When we talk about the brain of a Jew functioning properly, working the right way, it's dependent on these oils being preserved, not being wasted, chas v'sholom, and not being destroyed, not being messed up. We know that if you take a Hanukkah menorah and you put in it oil that has in it dirt, schmutz, or other stuff, pieces of wood or something like that, it could clog, it could stuff up the candle, and it could cause it to go out. The purer the oil is, the less chance of that candle going out. The Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Chanukah, says you use pure oil to ensure that the candle's going to burn for at least a half hour or whatever the length of time is that's necessary. The purity of the oil is what determines how long and how well, the quantity and quality of the burning of that candle. So too, the Sforim tell us that the purity with which a Jew keeps the oils in his body, that's what also determines this whole inyan of how well the brain functions. One of the methods through which a person, Rahman al-Salam, causes impurity and wasting of these oils is through this type of sin, Pegam HaBris, Rachmon HaTzlan, and this particular item, this Mikra Bilti Toher, which is wasting of these oils of the body, this type of item, where the Zohar HaKadosh says that this represents a drainage on this Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, the oil with which the Kohanim were anointed, the Kohanim who represented the purity of Klal Yisrael. How were they initiated into the Kohuna? The Shemen Mishchas Kodesh on their foreheads. The Kalim that were used in the Beis HaMikdash, what represented the purity of the Kalim? The oil that they were anointed with. So to a Jew, according to the purity of the oils within him, according to how well they're preserved and kept pure, this is what determines how well the brain is going to function, Bikdusha, or Chas v'Shalom, it's not going to function. This Shemen, Mishchas Kodesh, this oil, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, also is Marames to one of the names of Hashem. The keeping of purity of this oil is what's got, Rabbi Nezal says here, U'bizchus tikin chet zeh, Yovoi Moshiach Tzidkenu Lekabetz Nofutzoisenu. Moshiach is going to come to gather in all the scattered ones. We know, Rachman al Salman, a Jew commits this type of sin, it causes actual neshamos to be released into this world that have no body to go into, and these neshamos become scattered to different places in the world. They can't function, they can't do mitzvahs, and they suffer. This causes tremendous, tremendous suffering to them. There's going to be a tikkun where these neshamos are going to be gathered in. There's a pasuk in the Torah which we say on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in the special tefillah, in the tefillas musaf, if you look in some machzorim, by umipnei chatoenu golino me'artzenu, when the chazan is saying chazoras hashatz, and he says that paragraph, umipnei chatoenu, there's a tefillah in some machzorim, on the bottom of the machzor, a special tefillah for Tikkun HaBris there. Because what is the Chazan saying? U'mipnei chato'enu golinu me'artzenu v'nisrachaknu me'alat mosenu. Because of our sins, we have been chased out of Eretz Yisrael and put into Golos. Which is the main sin that causes this scattering of neshamos, that causes these neshamos to be scattered in all different parts of the world, to be lost in a sense? It's this particular sin. One of the items in that tefillah, it quotes one of the psukim that discusses the ingathering of these sparks of Kedusha. That there's going to come a time when these sparks of Kedusha are going to be gathered back in. The pasuk says, Bizroyoi yikabetz teloim. Kaviyochel Hashem with his arm is going to gather in the lost sheep, the scattered sheep of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are referred to as Tzayin Kodshim. These Tzayin Kodshim are going to be gathered in Bizroyoi. The first letters of Bizroyoi Yekabetz Tloim, Beis Yud Tes, represents one of the very holy names of Hashem that corresponds to the union of Tikkun HaBris in particular. The Sifrei Kabbalah say that Beis Yud Tes is the Atbash of the word Shemen. Shin, Atbash, is a Beis. Mem, in Atbash, is a Yud. Nun, in Atbash, is a Tes. This name of Hashem, Beis Yud Tes, which is the name that represents the union of Tikkun HaBris, this union of Bizroyoi Yekabetz Tloim, this name of Hashem corresponds to this union of this Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, that it's the purity, the Tikkun of this Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, that's going to lead to this kibbutz goliyos. This is what Mashiach's coming is most dependent on. The correcting of this sin that's brought about through the Asorah Mina Negina, through saying Tehillim, Ubifrat, especially these 10 chapters of Tehillim. This is what's going to achieve the tikkun for this Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, and it's going to bring about the whole tikkun for Kal Yisrael. Now on this item, our Rebbe Zichron Avrocha once gave a super, super spectacular shir. We'll mention one or two of the little pieces of this to show a little deeper understanding regarding this name of Hashem, Beis Yutes. We find also in the Tefillah, in the chapter of Tehillim, Yoshev B'Seser Elyoin, B'Tzel Shakai Yisloinon. Over there also, towards the end, it says, Ki vi choshak va'afaltehu asagvehu ki yoda shemi. Hashem says that this person, ki vi choshak, this person yearns to me, va'afaltehu, and I will rescue him, asagvehu, I will elevate him, ki yoda shemi, because he knows my name. The Arizal says that in this sentence is merumos, we find secretly hidden this name of Hashem, again, this special name of Hashem, Beis Yud Tes, that's appointed over the union of Tikkun HaBris. The Kivi, the Beis Yud of Vi, Va'afal Tehu, the Tes of Afal Tehu, that's where we find this aremes to this name of Hashem, Beis Yud Tes, that represents a Jew being rescued, saved, from this union of Chilul HaBris, Rachmon al Islam. We know also in the Tachnun that we say on Mondays and Thursdays, this the Megala Mukai says, in the Tachnun that we say on Mondays and Thursdays, we say, Habito ure'e es cherposenu. Hashem, look at us and see our shame. Cherpo refers specifically to Chilul HaBris. Shame, the Pasuk says, by Odom and Chavo, vayedu ki erumim heim, vayispoi shoshu. When they realized their nakedness, they were ashamed, they were embarrassed. That refers specifically to this union of Tikkun HaBris, right? Habito ure'e es chorposenu. The Megala Mukai says the word habito, the two heys, represent the upper Shechina and the lower Shechina. In Hashem's name, Yud Kei, Vov Kei, we have two hays there, corresponding to the Shechina Elyon and Shechina Tachtoina, who are affected by this Beis Yud Tes, by this union of Tikkun HaBris, by how a person keeps the Shmira Sabris, this Shemen, the Beis Yud Tes in Atbash, which is this Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, that's what affects the upper Shechina and the lower Shechina, the whole Yichud Kudshe Baruch Hu Shechinte. And so too we find one of the most fantastic Chidushim related to this. If you look in the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Vov, Nun Zayin over there, where the Gemara discusses the Churban Beis HaMikdosh, that's when the Yidden were chased out of Eretz Yisrael. That's when the Golus really began. The Gemara over there in Gittin says, what were the three most outstanding episodes that happened in Klal Yisrael at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdosh, right before, that really lit the spark and guaranteed that the Beis HaMikdosh was going to be destroyed? The Gemara there says, it focused around three cities in Eretz Yisrael at the time. Beitar, the Gemara tells over there in Gittin what took place in the city of Beitar. Then the Gemara says Yerushalayim, that's the second city over there. And the third city is Tur Malka, Tesvov Reish, Mem Lamed Chof Aleph. If you look over there in the Gemara in Gittin, you're going to see three major stories over there regarding these three cities. Period! Only these three cities are discussed over there. The Megala Mukai says, why? Because we know what causes the neshamos of Klal Yisrael to be scattered, to be strewn, to be evicted from the mechitza of Kedusha, from within Eretz Yisrael, to be scattered in Chutz Lord, scattered about and lost. This union of Chilul HaBris, which revolves around this name of Hashem, this Beis Yud Tes, which is merames to this Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, this purity of the person. Beis Yud Tes is the Rosh Hetevo, is Beitar, Yerushalayim, and Tur Malka. That's why the Gemara focuses on these three cities. Again, a remez that it was this item in particular, it's this item, Tikkun HaBris, that's the whole fulcrum of the whole Yiddishkeit of the person. If a person is zeichet to be mesakein this, everything else is okay. Proof is, how many mitzvahs are there in the Torah? 613, basically, the whole Torah. The word bris with the kollel is bigimakriya 613, the Sifrei Kabbalah say, to show this is everything. Rabbi Nizal says that when the Sotan came to him specifically and told him, the Sotan showed him, I'm willing to give you everything else, willing to allow you to succeed in any other mitzvah and religion except this item. Rabbi Nizal said he understood from the way the Sotan was dealing with him that this is the whole key. That this is everything. Rabbi Nizal said to the Sultan, I'll make you the exact opposite deal. I'm willing to give in on everything else except this. This is the thing that I'm willing to fight to the end, to try everything in my power to be zeche, to fix and correct and be misaking myself in this area to perfection. Which Rabbi Nizal did achieve, obviously. He was the one who was zeche to be megala, the secret to this tikkun akloli. Now the items that we're mentioning till now are just remozim, hints, little tidbits of information to open the curtain a little bit, to give you an idea as to how deep a topic this is and how much information there is in the Torah, in the Sifrei Kabbalah, especially about this subject. Rabbi Nizal, who revealed this secret, obviously was aware, knew all of this information and knew the secrets, and he was the tzaddik. Rabbi Nizal said, Odom Arishon searched for this tikkun, and every single tzaddik from Odom Arishon on searched to find this formula, this magic formula that could achieve a tikkun for the worst sin in Judaism, to an extent. As the Zohar HaKadosh says, only about this sin that there's no tshuva. Rabbi Nizal was the only tzaddik. It's not that there's a machlekes here, that some other tzaddik says he found it, and Rabbi Nizal says he found it. We're not sure who found it. There wasn't another tzaddik in the history of Klal Yisrael who came forth and said, I have the solution to this problem. Why? Because they wouldn't lie. If he's a tzaddik, he's not going to lie. He's not going to say he has it if he doesn't have it. Rabbi Nizal came forth and said, I was zeche to be megala this secret, this tikkun, the tikkun of saying these 10 chapters of Tehillim, which Rabbi Nizal said is so choshev. Now Rabbi Nizal said that one item that goes together with this is mikveh, that especially the sequence, if a person chas v'shalom is nichshel in this type of sin, the first thing is mikveh, Rabbi Nizal said, and then the tikkun akoli saying these 10 chapters. And Rabbi Nizal said, if a person can't get to the mikveh, if it's impossible, still, you should know that these 10 chapters definitely are misaking. And this is why we say, Ashrei, to those Yidden that are zeche, to integrate this into their Seder Hayoim, to make it choik v'layavar, not to let a day of our lives go by without saying these 10 chapters of Tehillim. This formula, which is a tikkun for this particular item, and also a tikkun for everything else. We said that the word bris is 613. Bris with the kollel is 613. This is kollel all 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. If a Jew is zeche to perfect this, he has everything. And if a Jew is lacking in this, chas v'shalom, then something's missing in everything else also.
Perfecting this, it seems... In other story, we talk also about that there is tshuva that helps, that it's intense, kavona and the vekis and tshuva from ahava. And I wonder, in terms of, besides the, is he, it must be speaking about more than mere recital, or not? Or is he also,
is Rabbi Nizal also
speaking about, because I know he says it, something about the kavana of certain shame Hashem, when one is reciting.
Right. That's when we referred back to Torah Reish Hei and the Kutam Ram Chelek Aleph, there Rabbi Nizal discusses keeping in mind the two names of Hashem, Kael and Elikim, which correspond, the milui of Kael and Elikim is Bigimatria, Tof Pei Hei, with the letters, the five letters, which is the gematria of the word Tehillim, number one, and also the gematria of that malach, lamed yud tof, which is appointed over this type of pigam. However, naturally in this and in everything else there are different levels. It's understood that somebody that's more learned and more knowledgeable can affect this tikkun on a higher level. That there are many, many levels with which a person could say tikkun akloli, etc., etc. But that's not to say that any Jew that will say these 10 chapters with this kavona, basing it on the fact that this tzaddik revealed this as a tikkun, a solution for this problem and all other problems, there's no question that it definitely helps very, very much. That's the point that he's saying here. He doesn't say, v'dafka ba'amira b'kavona ma'oid, he doesn't say that. He says, amira so asorim is moira meira. That's what he said. Understood, the more kavona the better. If you give tztaka, it helps. If you go to mikveh, it helps. If you're saying it with a minion, it's much better than if you're not saying it with a minion. No question about it. No question. But to understand that this is the tikkun that Rabbein Azar revealed for this item.
Does he say anywhere else about a tshuva with tens av or...
Definitely. Rabbein Azar does discuss the topic of tshuva and tshuva me'ahavo and tshuva me'ira for everything, including this. However, this particular item, we have a clear statement in the Zohar HaKadosh that says you should know that this is a very exceptional kind of thing. This is in a class of its own. This is the only sin about which the Zohar HaKadosh writes, no tshuva. So obviously this needs something additional. This needs something extraordinary to be able to be misaken it completely. And this is something which Rabbein Azar was zeicher to be privileged to reveal this. Just as the secrets of Kabbalah. Did Rabbi Akiva know the secrets of Kabbalah? Did Moshe Rabbeinu know the secrets of Kabbalah? Yes. And yet, there was one tzaddik, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who was given the zechus to be megala, to reveal these secrets to the world. That was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, to reveal it in the Zohar HaKadosh. Rabbein Azar was the tzaddik who was zeicher to discover this. Rabbein Azar said beferish that no tzaddik before him was zeicher to come to the realization of these 10 chapters, and he was zeicher to reveal it, to present it to the world.
Rabbein Azar alludes to the fact that Paul is a vegan who searched for this. Where we see, let's say, an expression of this item that they were searching for, in Svarim, let's say.
Okay, most definitely. If you look in the Gemara, in the Zohar HaKadosh, in the Shulchan Aruch, there is tremendous discussion about trying to be misaken this item. The fact that the Zohar HaKadosh makes such a statement that this can't get a tikkun implies, you have to be able to read between the lines a little bit and in the lines and everything, implies that this is obviously, if we know that there is an item in Judaism that's so traumatic and so dangerous that if a Jew is nichshal in this, he can't help him, obviously every tzaddik whose function is only to serve Klal Yisrael and only to be misakin, obviously this is what they were yearning for in... What else? They ignored it? They forgot about it? They said, fine, and then let it go. The whole function of a tzaddik is looking to be misakin Klal Yisrael. And if you look in the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh and the Shulchan Aruch, where it discusses these, you'll see clearly the type of wording that's used, discussing person has to try to do this and try to that, and hope for Rachmei Shemayim, and all kinds of Lashon is implying that Kulei hai viulai, yearning, we're looking for solution. We don't really have something that we can tell you clearly is a solution for this item, but...
The other thing is, well, on that point, like, let's say, is there any other avayer that said, you can, said, you know, this is a tikkun for, I mean, said that the Gemara or whatever, you know, outside of the general, advice of tshuva. In other words, tshuva meaning nothing specific, not going through the way, just tshuva.
Yes, there are averus in particular for which the tikkun is fasting, certain quantities of fasting. The Arizal in his forum mentions particular sins for which a certain quantity of fasts affect the tikkun for it. There are other sins in the Shulchan Aruch, gzela, the heshivas gzela. There's a tikkun of kefil, paying back double. There are many, many sins in the Torah for which there are tikkunim described, 100%. Person eats treif. What the tikkunim for that are, the Arizal says, has shown it could result in a certain particular type of gilgul that affects a tikkun for that. There are many which are. To the best of my knowledge, the only one about which such a statement is written, that this item has no tshuva, this item is so, it's the severest, that's the wording in the Zohar HaKadosh, is this particular item.
remember in the Arizal, Harish said he had composed a special Krishna, and saying that that also, that done in serious nefesh is also aimed at.
Very good point. Very good point. The Arizal in his writings says that one of the most spectacular items that helps in this area is saying Kriya Shema Alamito with Kavona. That if a person is zoche to say Kriya Shema Alamito, to say the whole Shema, not like many people who say just the first paragraph of Shema before they go to sleep, but to say the entire Shema Yisrael, all 248 words, you know, of the Shema, Kel Melech Ne'emon, and saying the whole Shema before you go to sleep in Kriya Shema Alamito, standing, saying it standing, specifically the Arizal said, that serves as a tremendous tikkun for this item. For what aspect of this item? This, our Rebbe Zichron Avrocha, I myself am not an authority on the Kisvei Arizal to be able to tell you this. Our Rebbe Zichron Avrocha was a very good authority on the Kisvei Arizal, and he explained to us, if you look over there, you'll see, the Arizal says that this helps to slash and destroy the klipos, the tumos that are created as a result of this item. In other words, these klipos, these shedim, ruchos, other things that are created as a result of this particular sin, the kriya shma lamita is the cheref pifios biyodom. It's like a sword that stands opposite them and cuts them down, has the power to cut them down. Not to say that it wipes out the pigam completely. You understand? It's able to stand up against, as an equal opposing force, to knock out most of the results of this sin, Rachmon Otzlan. The klipos, the ruchos that would want to damage a person, Rachmon Otzlan, as a result of this thing, that has a neutralizing effect on them. The kriya shma lamita with mesiras nefesh, standing up, etc. But that still leaves a lot of room for the Tikkun HaKloli to do the things that it does. Obviously, if a person will learn the Kisvei Arizal, learn that particular area, and learn more about this subject in the Zohar HaKodesh and Rabbi Azal Sforim, you'll be able to know what exactly we're talking about in terms of different details as to all the different things that are affected when a Jew does a sin. You'll understand how this, the Kriya Shema Lamita, affects a Tikkun in this particular area, in this particular sphere, but there are still remaining items. Just like we have in the Gemara and other places, sometimes a Jew does something, he does tshuva for it. Tshuva erases certain aspects of it, but sometimes there is a stain that's left on the neshama, not a physical stain, a spiritual stain, that can't be removed without tears, for example. The Shulchan Aruch says when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, it's super important to cry, because the tears are an unbelievable eraser when it comes to sins. Even if you did tshuva for the sin, just like, let's say you have something, you have a mark, and you rub off, you have dirt, and you rub it off, rub it off, rub, rub, rub very hard, and most of it comes off. But we know sometimes there's a certain type of stain that you can rub from today till tomorrow. Unless you add a little water to it, it won't come off. And if you add a little water, or a little bleach, the bleach can whiten it 100%. The spiritual bleach is tears. The tears of a person. For Yid Zecher to cry for tshuva, to cry in tefillah, and to take those tears and wipe his forehead with it, and wipe his hands with it, the Arizal says, that serves as a tremendous supplement to the supplement and complement to the tshuva. So on this topic of tshuva here again, you have to know that it's not so simple. On one hand, when we want to give chizuk to a Jew, we tell him all you have to do is say you're sorry and everything is better. And that's true to a large extent. For somebody who's closer, there's a lot to learn about tshuva. There's thousands of pages describing all kinds of levels of tshuva and all kinds of details and all kinds of particulars and the lack of simplicity related to it. So therefore, a person has to be able to know both things and deal with both at the same time.
You said, like, in the chapter that if somebody is not, that it's an Arizal, that the only thing that true, that there isn't a
tshuva for
is chalav bris. So I learned in, what do you mean by Tshuva alone or tshuva with other things? Because I learned in Yuma that it says that for Chil Hashem also, you need tshuva.
Plus Yom Kippur. Exactly. When we're using the word tshuva here to mean tshuva plus all of those items mentioned in the Gemara, including Misa. Tshuva, Yisurim, Yom Kippur, and Misa. All of those items we're putting under this title of tshuva for now. So we're saying that just about every Aveira in the Torah can be erased through one of those items, or two, or three, or four of those items. The Zohar HaKadosh says, mentions one that's an exception. A hundred percent true. Rabbi Nizal mentions that related to this specific pigam. Don't forget, he started the Torah by saying, tikkun for this item is to say it on that day. A tikkun for this item is to make sure to say it on that day. But why is it called tikkun ha-kloli? What does kloli mean? In general, everything. In Torah Chof Tes, in Likud Imran Chelik Aleph, and in other chapters, Rabbi Nizal shows how fixing this item automatically fixes everything else, all the other parts of the body and everything. 100%. Not to say if a person doesn't, he's doing an Aveira. Any person that will learn about this and gets some degree of a realization as to how choshu this is, would try not to let a day of their life go by without saying these 10 chapters.